one of the main obstacles for anyone doing this musical is that you need 30 white men to do the musical. And I thought, well, you know, Hamilton isn't doing it with all these white men. They actually did it contrary to that.
George Washington's an African American.
Right, absolutely.
And so is Aaron Burr.
Yes, and so I thought to myself, well, you know, there have been productions in the past of 1776, all female casts. I've heard of that happening. And so I thought, well, why don't we just mix it up a lot? And so pretty much went into the audition process, casting whomever we thought would be best for the role, whether they were female, male, or black, brown, white, or whatever.
What'd you come up with?
We have all of those. Reverend Witherspoon is an African-American woman, and John Adams is a white male. The young man that sings Mama Look Sharp is...
He's Washington's
Indian.
Spy,
He's Indian,
right?
Yeah. He's an Indian. And Caesar Rodney is a female. White female. So we have a cornucopia.
Is that going to be hard for the audience to suspend belief because these figures are so iconic?
We're costuming them in period costumes. So that will be the first thing that kind of you feast your eyes on. And I think what hopefully happens and what usually happens if the story is compelling enough is that you accept and you see who the characters are, what they're doing, and you soon just don't worry about that so much.
You're here with Kelly Franklin, who is the dramaturg for the production, and that is the person who researches the role and tries to help the actors get a little bit more into the psyche of the character. Kelly, what have you found out about some of these very famous people in history that struck you?
In researching the show, I found out that the playwright, the man who wrote the original script, was actually a historian himself. He even taught high school history, and so he has all kinds of records and information, and it's all based off of primary sources, the letters that they wrote each other, or the diary entries that they had. So, like, each person is their own individual character.
For 10 years, King George and his parliament have gulled, cullied, and diddled these colonies... And still this Congress refuses to grant any of my proposals on independence, even so much as the courtesy of open debate. Good God, what in the hell are they waiting for?
Sit down, John! Sit down, John! For God's sake, John! Sit down! Sit down, John! Sit down, John! For God's sake, John! Sit down!
Someone ought to open up a window!
When 1776 came out, it was kind of a euphoric time in some ways in the country. It was right before the bicentennial, the 200th anniversary of the United States. But it was also, America was coming out of this really rough period of Watergate, which Nixon had just resigned a year or two before. So it was a show really for that time. Do you see it now as a show for our time when people are talking about, well, what does the Constitution say? What are our founding principles?
I do. It's every evening I'm in rehearsal. I sit and listen to the words. And like Kelly said, much of the script is, you know, a narrative comes directly from what they said. We are actually saying some of the things they said. Certainly, we are signing the Declaration of Independence, which we can all read. And to sort of languish in this, the brilliance of these men and how they put it all together and what they committed themselves to is sometimes overwhelming and certainly a positive experience of what this country is founded on, the rights that we have and we must hold on to.
Kelly, I'm interested in your perspective as a young person, as a person in your 20s. What did you take away from this show, given the context of all that's happening in our country now, the uncertainty about what kind of country we want to be?
We're still very much in the same place we were then. America is still its own great experiment. It's just now we're reliving a lot of the same and similar feelings. At the end of the day, what I'm concerned about in watching this is, are we going to see the compromise in our lives that they did? They compromised on slavery. They compromised on breaking away. They compromised on, spoiler alert, the actual bird for America, but...
Became the eagle and not the turkey.
Right. Or the dove. So living in the state of Illinois, we're still without a budget. Are we going to finally make that compromise? In the federal government, we're both Republicans and Democrats, and no one wants to reach across the aisle. So when our founders understood that compromise is not a weakness, why are we still deeming it one today?
I brought a smart girl with me,
you
didn't
did.
I? Yes, yes.
How quiet the chamber is. How silent the chamber is. Is anybody there? Does anybody care? Does anybody see what I see?
One of the strengths of the show, it seems to me, is that these men who were our founding fathers become very real and very nuanced. Thomas Jefferson, he's a violin player. He just wants to go home to his wife in Virginia. They have this passionate relationship. Ben Franklin drinks a little bit too much. John Adams is sort of an ornery kind of guy. And then there's Abigail. So talk a little bit about how these characters come alive.
Well, Abigail is one of only two characters that are written as female in the play.
Abigail Adams, I should say.
Abigail Adams, and then Mrs. Jefferson, Martha Jefferson, as well. Abigail Adams never comes to Philadelphia, which is where the play takes place, because she's at home raising their four children back in Massachusetts. The thing that we know historically about that couple, Abigail and John Adams, is they were very, very close. They wrote letters every day. They were kindred spirits. She was just as smart as he was, and they were quite a pair. And in the play, she comes and she is his sort of guardian angel and his counsel, and she's there for him while she, carries the load of the family back at home. And he makes decisions based on some of her opinions.
A lot of times we see these historical figures as just text, words, of people who are these ideals that once existed in the 1700s, well beyond any of us being born, but then watching them come to life and realizing that, oh, they have flaws just like me.
What do you want people to take away from this production?
I have a feeling that many people my age, around my age, will be humming the tunes because they remember them from when they first were introduced to this piece. But I think I want the majority of everyone, the young and old, to come away with a renewed sense of how great this country can be. And
of our ideals.
Of our ideals and our principles and what we are founded on.
Mr. Secretary, is the declaration ready to be signed?
It is.
Very well. Call the roll.
New Hampshire, Dr. Josiah Bartlett. Massachusetts, Mr. John Adams. Rhode Island.
Kelly,
I'm just hoping people walk away with, again, kind of a renewed sense of patriotism, but also the hope that they will themselves get involved in civic engagement opportunities, be it voting, be it being a part of the system, or even just reading the news is something that I think people can figure out from this show and realize, oh, there's so much going on around me. Maybe I can be a part of it.
Well, maybe there will be a play in a few dozen years called 2016, and and we'll be looking at our history in that way as well.
This play is appropriate for all ages. Please feel free to bring your children and come and enjoy it. It's a beautiful, if you haven't been to the CPA, it's a beautiful theater. We have a gorgeous set that shows us Constitution Hall in Philadelphia. And so come and listen to the music. We have a full orchestra. and enjoy.
Thank you, Lori Adams, the director of the upcoming production at ISU Center for Performing Arts, 1776, and the dramaturg, Kelly Franklin. Thanks a lot for coming in and talking about this.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for letting us come.
I'm Judy Valente.